Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Hello, this is motivational speaker Les Brown, and you're listening to Life Conversations. It's going to change your life.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy the show.
The sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stop and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY. Purposefully loving and appreciating you. A weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play, and I will see you there.
Hey, this is Jenny Cressman. I worked in the field of woman abuse for almost 20 years, and I want to give you something to think about. I don't generally like labels, but lately, I've begun to feel that one little label is really important to embrace. Feminism. There, I've said it. The new F word. For too many people, that's a dirty word. But really, feminism is about equality. Feminists seek greater social, political, and economic equality of the sexes. It's about raising women up to the same level as men. So, I'm an F word. How about you?
Life Conversations, the radio show, is dedicated to empowering its listeners spiritually, emotionally, socially, and financially. The radio show provides the platform for the stimulation of thoughts, conversations, and ways of being that allow listeners to explore and examine what it is they believe and decide whether what they believe is keeping them stuck and disempowered or empowering them to live their best life.
Of soul. Answer, it's the question. Yes, do you want me to live again? Yes, I want to live again. Yes, I want to heal again. Yes, I want to reveal the truth of who I am. Yes, I want to heal body, mind, and spirit right here, right now. I say yes, I say yes, I say yes. Charles Holt, tapping. Beautiful healing song. Boy, do we need healing. I don't think he ever stops. But maybe he does. I don't know. But right now what I know is healing is about to make whole. And life is always seeking to reveal itself. Life is always evolving. And there's something about the challenges that we experience, the obstacles that we go through and grow through. They, on a human plane, become a catalyst for us to go deeper, to be made new, to be made whole. I don't know. Maybe we're always going to have a sacred wound. Who knows what the divine plan is? I don't want to worry about that. I want to think of what I'm dealing with right now. so much to make new, so much to behold about. And that's what today's conversation is about. Supporting you in being whole, to transform, to see your life in a whole new way, to recognize that you're part of something bigger, of a grand divine plan, that you're not alone, you're just all with the one. Charles Holt, to find out more about him, his website address is Charles Holt, H-O-L-T, Productions.com. Good afternoon, good evening, good night, good morning, good day to you, wherever you may be at this very moment in time. Thank you, thank you, thank you for tuning in to Life Conversations Radio, where change begins and you make a difference. You make a difference because you exist. You make a difference because you're part of the natural flow of life. Everything you do, every thought you think, every feeling you feel affects, influences, is a catalyst to everyone else and everything else. When we embody that, we realize that we are enough, we are right where we need to be, and that it becomes a sort of sacredness, a sacred sense of living, to just think you're part of this thing called life, and everything to you. Everything you think, feel, and do affects the rest. You're like a string or a guitar string. They all come together to play harmonious music. So someone's strumming you in a loving way. Are they pushing your button, asking you to be the light, to switch the light on? All is truly well. You're listening to Ask Life Coach Ade on LifeConversationsRadio.com. I am your host, Life Coach Ade, and we are here Monday to Thursday, 12 to 1:30 p.m. Eastern. And, as regular listeners know, sometimes we go a little bit longer, but we generally finish with the guest around 1:20, 1:30. Sometimes it gets real good. It gets gooder. And the guest is like, yeah, I want to stay alone here. But normally, we finish around 1:30, if not, we'll just play it till about 2-ish. But today, we'll see. We grow with the flow and go with the flow. Welcome, welcome to your appointment with yourself, your appointment with your soul. I welcome all of you listening on the phone line. Rebecca, how are you doing, my sister friend? Nice to see you. Cece, all my sister friends are in the house. Tanya, how are you doing? How are you being? Where have you been? Celeste is in the house. Those of you listening online, thank you, thank you. Electra is electrifying the chat room. Silent listeners, this guy's a guest. Go ahead and sign up with Blog Talk Radio. Show yourself completely. But I know who you are because you are me and I am you. So you are just an extension of myself. Aloha. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you for tuning in. Thank you for tuning in. We're getting ready to jump into this conversation of sacred wounds, healing sacred wounds through the Akashic Records. We're going to talk about the records. We're going to dance together. We're going to change the CD and maybe even use the MP3 file. If you didn't catch that, don't worry about it. We're seriously having fun over here. So we have serious issue in a fun kind of way. But we don't get too serious that we don't recognize that all of life is sacred. So in the seriousness, it's not being uptight. It's being focused and setting the right intention. That's what I mean by serious. The number is 347-426-3346. Make sure you press 1 on your keypad if you have any questions or comments that you want to ask Linda or myself. And we're also taking your questions on Ask Life Coach Ade fan page, Ask Life Coach Ade fan page on Facebook. And there's some people who don't do Facebook. Why? You're going to miss out. But it's okay if you don't. You're right where you need to be. You can keep the past alive so we can remember what life used to be without Facebook. Because if everybody's on Facebook, we may not remember what it's like. But anyway, if you don't do Facebook, you can go to LifeConversationsMedia.com, LifeConversationsMedia.com. There's a tab there, Ask life coach at a click on that and just follow the prompts. And also on that, on there, you can find out all the upcoming guests, which needs to be updated drastically. Yes, drastically. But if you want to find out more about the upcoming guests, actually the best one right now, every time I update it, right, I have to do it again. But if you really want to get the most updated information of the upcoming guests, just click on the program calendar. You'll see everybody who's coming through the month of May and June, and we're filling them up every day, every moment. But speaking of upcoming guests, tomorrow we have Colette Baron-Reed. She's going to join us. She's the author of Finding the Magic and Meaning in the Story of Your Life. Finding the magic and the meaning in the story of your life. So tomorrow we're going to talk about finding meaning in your life. We're going to take some calls, some readings, and we want to educate as well. So make sure you join us, 12 p.m. Eastern. Thursday we have, Jack Armstrong, author of Lessons from the Source. He's going to be joining us to let us know what God has to say, what God is saying right now, what's God downloading through and as him, Jack Armstrong. And tomorrow, every Wednesday, we have Here to Inspire with Aisha. Here to Inspire. Tomorrow she's here. Make sure you tune in 2 p.m. Eastern. And one more thing before I introduce Linda, who's waiting patiently for us to do the dance, the Akashic Records dance. We're going to dance. We're going to do two steps. We're going to do the flash mob even. So anyway, 1 o'clock, we have the segment called Celestial Moment with Celeste Morgan. So make sure you tune in and stay tuned. And remember that all the shows are archived. You can come back to lifeconversationsradio.com to listen, to download it. Or you can go to iTunes. On the Blog Talk Radio page, there's a button that says iTunes. Push the button. Push that button. There's a story behind it when I do that, but it's so old, and I say it all the time. I'm not even going to waste time doing that now, okay? Push the button, and you can subscribe to it. Then it gets downloaded onto your iPad, iPod, iPhone. I don't care what. Okay, let's see. What do I need to tell you here? What else do I need to do? I think we're ready for Linda Howe, the author of Healing Through the Akashic Records, Using the Power of Sacred Wisdom to Discover Your Soul's Perfection. She's also the author of How to Read the Akashic Records, Archive. Okay, my mind and my brain and my mouth were not working together. They're not working together. I don't know what's going on. I need to be healed. Accessing the Archive of the Soul and its Journey. Let me read a little bit more about her. She's a returning guest. She's home. She's not really a guest. She's one of us. She's one of the soul teachers who are here to transform the planet one soul at a time, one page, one record at a time. Linda Howe is the founder and director of the Center for Akashic Studies and the leading expert in the field of Akashic Studies. She is the author of the award-winning breakthrough book and 6-CD audio set, How to Read the Akashic Records. The second book, 6-CD audio set, is Healing Through the Akashic Records, what I just read. Linda is a gifted teacher with an international following of students from every walk of life, artists, writers, business professionals, psychiatrists, therapists, academics, mystics, and healer. Heal my mind, my eyes. I'm being transported to a whole different realm, I don't know. She is on the faculty of Omega Institute, Infinity Foundation, De Leon, Circles of Wisdom, and Sounds True Publishing. This is Sound True. highly regarded as a frequent guest on personal development radio and TV interview show, Linda Howe is known for making spiritual ideas understandable and useful in daily lives of her students, enabling them to experience the growth and transformation they seek. So it is my pleasure, ladies and gentlemen. So let's just join hands together. Let's just open up our hearts and just welcome our wonderful guest. So ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, psychics and skeptics, physical beings and non-physical beings, help me welcome my wonderful guest, my sister, my friend, a spiritual teacher, Linda Howe. Good afternoon, Linda, or good morning where you are. How are you doing this morning?
Oh, I'm wonderful. I'm just wonderful, and I'm delighted. I'm delighted to be here with everybody today. Thank you.
You're very welcome. I'm so grateful to have you back because I just love the way you teach. There's so many ways to teach, but you bring it in such a very gentle, you break it down. It's not too heady. It's not heady that you get stuck up there and you're no good down here. So thank you for saying yes. You know, it can get so heady. We're like, hey, it's beautiful up here, but I can't help myself down there.
Right.
I know life is about bringing up here, down here, which is heaven and earth, but I don't know. So I just shared a little about you, read a little bit about you on your website and told a story about your book. But I want to ask you from your perspective, because every day is a new day. Who are you? Who is Linda Howe?
Do you know, that is really, nobody's asked me that in a long time. Okay. So, do you know what? So I'll tell you what. I am, wow. Do you know what? I am a daughter. I am a mother. I am a partner. I am a human being. I am a trusted servant of the light. I am a conscious agent for the truth. I am a participant. I am a contributor. And I am a person who loves a good nap. I am, but I'll tell you what, I really am. I mean, as we all are, right? I am a very specific point of consciousness in the universe. Do you know, I am the space that is dedicated to the revelation of the divine truth through my soul, through the lens of my soul, yes. And I am a space where heaven and earth find their perfect balance, as we all are, right?
Mm. Yes.
Do you know,
yes,
I am one of many. I stand shoulder to shoulder with my traveling companions, and yet there is an imprint of who I am that is unique, that there is only one me, as there is only one you. And so there is a tightrope, right? There is a very precise point, right, where, you know, I'm just another person, and yet I am the only me that has ever been.
Yes.
And so that, so let's talk about a dance. Right? Because this is like,
yes.
Whoa. I mean, I don't know. Is it a dance? Actually, I think it's more like a skateboard. because it's like, so how do we, I mean, the challenge of the day, right? How do I stand in the awareness of all truth? Not just, you know, it used to be, just physical, right? We lived for centuries, right? Thousands of years, just in awareness of the physical. And then, you know, we've had this great spiritual, you know, we're in the age of spiritual revolution. And so, so we've all woken up, or we're waking up, yes, to the spiritual truth. And yet we have kind of kept them separate. And I really believe this, the great opportunity of 2012 for us is that it be seamless. Because it's not an either or, it's not physical, it's not spiritual, it's not human, it's not divine, you know, it's all the same. So how do we live in the seamlessness of the oneness, right? And go to work every day and deal with our teenagers and, you know, I don't know, pay mortgages and, right, visit grandchildren. How do we do these things in the awareness of the truth? So anyway, these are the great, right, the great opportunities. I mean, we haven't had, secular people like us have not had these opportunities in this way ever. This has been, this level of conscious awareness has been the exclusive domain of mystics and scholars and saints, as it should be, right? I mean, that's fine.
Yeah.
But this is the you know, the era where secular people like us, just regular people living in the world, can have a more conscious relationship with our own souls. We have the opportunity for conscious, direct impression of the divine, right? And to really live in the truth of who we are. Unbelievably exciting. And no wonder we're all, you know, wonder we're all up for grabs. It's like, whoa, we never did this before. And certainly our parents, listen, did our parents do this? No. Did our grandparents? Absolutely. You know what I'm saying? Yes, people have done this. It has been the rare individual throughout history who's been able to be awake and keep their feet on the ground, right, and their head in the truth. But now it's for all of us. I mean, what a great time. I mean, we picked a great time to be here. Can I just say?
Indeed. And that's the thing, when you talk about picking the great time to be here, and there's so much that you said here, it's like, oh, I like that. Oh, I like that. Oh, I want to talk about that. You know, when you talk about the space where heaven and earth finds balance, and I really get that on such a deep level. You also mentioned about that we're in the time where we can have a conscious relationship with our souls. Now, there's something about those words, that statement, where we really sit with it and meditate on it, being the space where heaven and earth found balance. I mean, in my body, it's like, ooh, that's exciting. When I think of having a conscious relationship with my soul, it's like, oh my God, I want to dedicate my life to that. But and we're going to talk about Akashic Records in a minute, what it means for people who kind of know, but just so they know where you're coming from and the sacred wounds. But as I listen to you, we are also living in a time, as you say, good time, but where this vibration is speeding up so fast. And so much is coming up as we are provided, afforded, given the opportunity to have a conscious relationship with our souls. I know many people who are having challenges after challenges after challenges, and it's just like, how do I break out of this? There are areas of my life now, because I've been thinking about myself, and I won't say that I have challenges after challenges, but there are things that are coming up, and I'm just thinking, how do I get through this? There are friends that I have who are saying, I don't know what is going on. I don't know why I feel this way. And I'll see what the question is. But in this time where we recognize that we are the space where heaven and earth finds balance, from your experience and just your studies, your own personal spiritual practice, what the flip is really going on? Because there's so much that feels good at the same time when we allow ourselves to embody that truth that feels good. It's like, ouch, I got to go back. I got to deal with this. I got to clean this out. What is really going on, Linda? Please tell us.
So here's the way I understand it. Excuse me. And you know, my work... you know, I work in the Akashic Record, which is, it's really quite simple. It's a Sanskrit word. It means primary substance. We're looking at the vibrational archive of every soul and their journey. So that's where, and what we see there, you know, we're all in it, right? The essential imprint of our soul, the blueprint of our soul, and then what travels with it is the catalog, excuse me, the catalog of the lifetimes we live through which we wake up to the truth of who we are. Okay? Now, what we see from a record's perspective is that the journey of the soul through time as a human, right, the human journey through space and time, the whole object of the game, the whole object of the game is to become aware of our own goodness, the goodness of all others, and the goodness of life itself, okay? Now, this is very easy to do when we don't have bodies. See, when we're out there, we're light beings, you know, we're living la vida loca. It's great, okay? We get here, it's like, oh, something must be, oh, wait a minute here, something must be terribly wrong. I mean, you know, when we wake up and we realize, oh, my God, I'm in this body, right? I mean, these are, we really are in bodies, and we really are in the earth plane. And you know what? It's a very constricted environment.
That's true.
So the question is, how do I come to recognize my own, the essential goodness of my being in a place where I don't have a lot of evidence for that, right?
Right.
And the question becomes, here's the real question. Okay, so I love questions, right? It's all about questions, because the question, you know, questions drive everything. But the other question, so here's the question. How do I love myself no matter what? See, because we know, right, we see from a soul-level perspective, which is the perspective of the records, we see that in divine light, right, in divine light, divine truth, that we are loved infinitely, I mean, infinite and eternal love. I mean, we get, that's all true. But what is that, how does that translate when we're human beings with, oh my God, we have problems, we make mistakes, we say dumb things, we make, you know, choices that seem really less than wonderful. Do you know, so how, the question becomes, how do I love myself no matter what?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's the question. As a human being, when I make mistakes, whether I offend someone, whether I hurt myself, how do I love myself then? Okay, because the idea is, can I be in alignment with divine consciousness on the earth plane? Okay, that's the game. And it is, of course, it takes us many lifetimes. It takes scores of, I mean, gazillions of them, right? I mean, which is fine. This is what we don't have anything else to do. What else is there to do? This is what there is. So, right? I mean, it's true. So we can calm down about that. So what we're looking at is that really, I'll tell you what. What I noticed in my own journey and with my students, you know, I would think, oh my heavens, we're just going to get to the bottom of all these issues, right? Issues, whether it's issues with our family of origin, issues with relationships, issues with our health or our work and our money, whatever. Like, there's all these issues. It's like, and what I noticed is that people always have issues. There's always something. Right? And then I look and I see that throughout history, people have been upset forever, but people have been struggling, right? We've been struggling with our issues, right, forever. So could it be, I used to think it was like, oh, this is because we're really just like wretches, right? We're just, you know, hey, you know, we're just pathetic beings, blah, blah. But that's really, of course I thought that. I mean, I was raised in Chicago, actually. But anyway, I thought, oh, this is, then it occurred to me, wait a minute. If human beings have been dealing with what we know as issues and difficulties since the beginning of time, and this is a loving universe, right? Could it be that there's something else going on here, that these wounds that we sustain, these injuries, whether it's a broken heart or a broken body, could it be that it can be used for a higher purpose, not as evidence of my unworthiness, not as evidence that I'm a wretch, not as evidence that you are a schmuck, but perhaps there's something else going on here. Perhaps every wound is an opportunity to come face to face with the divine reality, the source. Perhaps every injury is an opportunity to practice unconditional love, extending kindness and respect to myself in my imperfection and to you as well. Maybe that's what this is all about. And that actually turned my life upside down. Okay. And I'll tell you how this came. You know, I I've been on the path for longer than I care to admit. I had a profound spiritual moment when I was 24 that was like pulling the trigger, and I was off and running, really looking. I thought, I had a moment in which I knew beyond all knowing for me that I am an essential part of the fabric of the universe, and that not only am I loved, you know, which is a nice, I mean, love is good, let's face it, love is wonderful, but that I am liked, I am enjoyed, I am, that Linda is the delight of the universe, okay? That, see, for me, there is a distinction between being loved and being liked. I felt like universe gets a, the universe gets a kick out of me. I thought, whatever this is, I have to go find this. So I did, and I was led through, you know, as the path will be winding, of course. I found myself working in the Akashic Record in 1994. And when I opened into the records, I realized it was, in the moment, it was the closest thing, the closest dimension, the closest experience, the closest sensation to that moment I had when I was 24. And I knew that whatever this is, this is the home path for me. And so I started working the records in 94. I started teaching in 96. Okay. And what has happened subsequently, you know, my first book was teaching people how to access this dimension of consciousness, right? The second, you know, as we're going along the way, it was a funny thing because every time I've got issues, right? Whatever it is, you know, we're raising a child, you know, parents, siblings, you know, life, right? Life. No matter what I would do, I would go into my records, which is my practice, right? It's a practice. It's a path for consciousness development and personal empowerment. It is a lousy resource for divination. I think there are much better resources for divination, but it's fabulous for personal empowerment, consciousness development. But I would go in and I would ask in the records, I would be like, oh, this is so terrible, blah, blah, blah. You know, my father was dying and things are happening, right? And no matter what I would do or not do, no matter my strengths or weaknesses, my successes, my failures, I would go in the records, and what I would get was, well, of course you did that. Of course. No wonder. It's okay. And I didn't get it at first, because I thought, oh, they're way too forgiving. Do you know? I'm like, oh, wait a second. Something must be wrong here. They're being a little too easy on me. And over time, I grew to recognize that this resource was, I was being led into an awareness, right? That what really enabled me to let go, to release, and to move beyond my limitations and shortcomings and flaws was compassion, the practice of unconditional self-love, not the idea. Right, the idea. I mean, it's a great idea. I don't know what the heck it means. People used to say to me, you got to love yourself. I'm like, what's that? I mean, you know.
Yeah,
and then,
sounds good.
You know what I mean? It sounds good. How do you do that? What does it mean every day? What does it mean every day when, I mean, everything from, you know, I'm in traffic and I want to, like, scream at the guy crossing the street. I mean, whatever, right? Mm-hmm. And And it's like, oh, no matter what, no matter what I do or don't do, that I could say to myself, the practice of unconditional love would be to say, oh, honey, of course. Of course. See, because it is through acceptance. Acceptance opens the way to release. Release is natural. We don't have to let go, push away, blah, blah. I mean, I tried all that cutting cords and all that carrying on. And the fact of the matter is, it wasn't helpful. But what really helped me is I began to practice this, of course. Well, of course you did that. Okay? I mean, it's just amazing. Just amazing for me. And
you
one
know,
thing has went.
I want to jump in here because
please.
As you're talking, you're answering some, I have some questions. You know, as I said,
okay.
I said, what the flip is going on here? But you're sort of, as you're talking, I'm receiving answers. Now, here's what I'm saying is, especially, I mean, I believe that spiritual practice is really about reminding ourselves that the universe loves us, that we're part of a loving universe. You know, it's reminding us, like, no matter what, that's the unconditional love. It's love without conditions.
Right.
Doesn't matter what you do or don't do. It doesn't matter. This love is not taking notes. There's no place where this love is going to burn you up. This love is just going to love because love only knows to love, and it can't help but love you. And guess what? You are love. So the spiritual path is doing the conscious things, practice, if you will, to remind ourselves that. Now,
mm-hmm.
As you said, we have the daily challenges of parenting,
mm-hmm.
of relationships, of money, jobs, and the house need improvement, and all the other stuff. But
mm-hmm.
as you were talking, I kept thinking, but what about people that, I mean, because I know people who it's just one thing after another, and they are trying to hold it together. They know they're part of a loving universe, but it's like something is happening, one and it's hard. And what came up for me as I'm listening to you, when you talk about acceptance, it just popped in my head like that. What we need, yeah, I say need, I'm not going to even go into that. What we need or what can support us if we really want to step into that place of acceptance that you talk about is to start, I mean, and we've talked about this, but I'm getting this on a whole new level, is creating community. Creating a community where there is support. And I want to hear your thoughts on this, because spirituality, as I have interpreted how we have been caught up to this point, it's changing now. There's been this whole thing that if you want to be loving and know who you are and know God, it all depends on you. You. Nobody outside of yourself can do it. And I get what that means. But then if there's the other thing that we're connected. So the community helps me when I have one thing going on that's like one drama after the other and I can't stand. If I create community where I can reach out, it makes it easier for me to lean into the healing. It makes it easier for me to ask questions, because maybe if I was alone, there are some things I would have to do by myself. But with the community, I can ask someone else in the community, can you support me with this? I need to get this done. So it kind of takes the pressure off me. Now, it's an interesting concept, because when we use words, we say don't depend on anybody. But if I have a community, asking for help from my community, isn't that depending on somebody else? And for me, I would say, no, it's about interdependency. So how things are happening so fast and the challenges that we're going through and growing through, I'm feeling and thinking and getting that we need to start creating a different kind of community. And I want to hear your thoughts on that, because there's just so much going on.
Right. Well, see, here's what, this is really, it's a very interesting situation, and I love it that you bring this up, because historically, one of the things our spirituality has done, right, the way we've used it, is we've used it to take ourselves away from life. right?
Yes.
We've gone
yes.
to the mountaintops, the caves, the ashrams, the monasteries. We've done all that, right? However, the key feature, one of the key features of spirituality, of a valid spirituality in 2012, is that it takes us into life rather than away from.
Yeah.
Okay, so one of the acid test is, does this spiritual, you know, whatever, program or whatever it is, is this moving me into life or away from life?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's
mm-hmm.
the first thing. The next thing is, because I have to tell you something, if my spirituality cannot withstand my life, I'm not interested.
No, that's right.
I'm too old. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm like old. I'm like, listen, I don't have time. I mean, so we get that. Now, here's the other piece that I think is really, really exciting and challenging, yes, is this. Is, you know what? There is a leap into spiritual maturity that we're all experiencing. We are used to, in the collective, we are very used to our religions, our spiritual authorities telling us what to do, right? And who to, blah, 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 right? And so we've been like children.
Are you there, Linda? Oh, I guess not. Am I there? Okay. It's a good time to take a break. Melissa?
I can hear you.
Oh, you can
Hello?
Hear me. I don't know if anybody else heard you, but the video is like children, and you will go, I don't know what's going on. What the frick
can
is
you
going
hear me?
On today? Yes, I can hear you now, but you just were quiet for all day. I didn't hear you. I know I didn't use my hearing. Okay, so.
Huh, okay.
Yeah. Interesting. So I can't even recall. That just kind of made me think, is she there or is she just kind of pondering?
No. I've been talking.
So I heard children. Children was the last word I heard. Okay, you were saying, what just happened? Okay, so just pick up from wherever you want to pick up and just keep going.
Okay. So we are really in this, the opportunity of spiritual maturity, in which we
mm-hmm.
recognize that there are parts of the process, parts of our own growth that there are things I can do, only I can do for myself on my own behalf. It is my personal responsibility, and there are other times when I must reach out to others. See, if we were supposed to do this alone, there'd only be one person on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's like this does not take a rocket scientist to figure this one out. I mean, if the truth is there are a lot of us here because we really need to do this together.
Mm-hmm.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
So the opportunity becomes I also, as I'm doing my own practice with myself, right, practicing this, of course, right, this unconditional self-love, then I step out into the world and my opportunity is, does my practice hold up in the presence of other people? Because the great walk, right, the great unfolding is, can I love myself in the presence of others? Can I be who I am in the presence of others? And can I dignify others by allowing them to be who they are? So can I extend to others the same kindness and respect I want extended to me, right?
Mm-hmm.
So whereas with myself I'm dealing with of course, then I deal with other people. And my opportunity is to see that no matter what they're doing, there is something in them that is good. The people are good. And whatever they're doing, even if it's bad behavior, it's the best idea they have at the time. I'm not here. I am not the judge. I'm not here to judge life. I'm here to live it. Okay? Can I extend the benefit of the doubt to the people around me? And open the way for us to share the journey together.
Yes.
Okay. So what this, yes, we are here to do this together. Absolutely. But it's such an interesting thing because there are parts that are best done, right, together. There are other parts of the journey that can only be done individually. And
right.
in our awakening, we step up to that. We
right.
step up to
right.
that. And this is really the excitement. So one of the things you asked earlier about what the heck is going on, it seems like, oh, my God, some people are just getting, like, avalanched with problems. And the fact
mm-hmm.
is, when I see people with a gazillion, the problems, right, the overwhelming problems, the fact is this is simply evidence of their commitment to loving themselves no matter what.
Mm-hmm.
That's all this is. So so can I love this person even though they have a lot of catastrophe? Yes. Can I be the one who knows the truth about how good they are even though their life is kind of crazy? Yeah. You know, some lifetimes are crazy. It's all right. It's not a moral issue. Doesn't mean it's not an indictment. It doesn't mean we're bad. It just means some lifetimes we are here to stand in the truth of our goodness even though everything's kind of going crazy.
Yeah.
Very easy to love ourselves when we're perfect. Very easy to love ourselves, right, when we meet our own standards. That is very easy. We have these standards for who we think we're supposed to be. The fact is we are infinite beings. We are infinite, eternal, you know, completely unlimited at the level of our soul. And at the level of our humanity, we are finite. And it does not mean we've done something wrong. I just think it's, to me, this has been the most exciting and liberating understanding that has come to me in this lifetime. Second one. The first one is that the universe gets a kick out of me, and the second one is that the challenges that I face are not because there's something wrong. It is simply evidence of my commitment, you know, of the deep soul-level commitment I have to love myself no matter what. And this is the lifetime for many of us.
Yes, it is.
This is the lifetime
yes,
where we're saying, enough already. I've been banging my head against the wall for centuries. I'm sick of it. It's like, enough. Anyway.
Now,
does this make sense?
It makes sense to me. It makes sense to me, and it's about rethinking. So the whole thing of time community, and so reaching out, that interdependency, not codependency, interdependency, as well as knowing, let me do what I need to do so I can hold my side or make sure my foundation of the community is strong enough when someone needs to reach out to me. And I also like what you said about the universe gets a kick out of me, but not the universe doesn't kick me in the behind. It gets a kick out of me because I am one with it, and my job, my responsibility is to really know that, to do that, and even if I don't get that, to keep it real simple, can I be loving in spite of all that is going on? Can I be loving to myself? And that's it. That's something to sit with. Let's take a quick break. And we've got a caller. Melissa has a question. Because when we're talking about the Akashic Records, I love how you interpret the definition of vibrational archive of our soul. Because we are all on a soul journey. And it's so, you know, there's a visual that's been coming to me in the last few weeks, really. And I thought that I'd been time. And I'll share it when we come back. And the number is 347-426-3346. Call in if you have any questions or post a question on Ask Life Coach at a fan page. Ask Life Coach at a fan page. Did y'all hear that plane going through downloading spiritual dust from the ethers? It's like, yes, all is well. The angels and the ancestors are saying, we're raining down on you. 347-426-3346. We're going to take a break. You can post your questions on Ask Life Coach at a fan page. If you don't do Facebook, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com and click the Ask Life Coach at a tab. And to find out more about Linda Howe, if you're just joining us and say, oh my God, this is just what my soul needed. Who is this lady? Because most people are telling me, I don't even look at who's coming on. I don't look at the topic. I like that. That makes me feel good. And not only good, but grateful. I just want to come and hear whatever you're sharing. But to find out more about Linda Howe, the author of Healing Through the Akashic Records, using the power of your sacred wounds to discover your soul's perfection. So when you're going through the challenges and all that, you can use all those challenges to discover your soul's perfection. That universe gets a kick out of you. And to find out more about her, her website address is akashicstudies.com, akashicstudies.com. We are going to take a break, and it's time for a celestial moment. Yeah, so let's see. They will do take a break. We'll come back to the celestial moment, go to Melissa and Casper, one more thing before you go, and then we can take care of the phone calls. Let's take a break, and this is something for you to remind you that the universe loves you because you are one with the one. Carly, tell them.
I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. I am peace. I am here. I am strong. I'm free. Well, I'm the delight of God. I am you. I am healed. I am love. I am great. I am wonderful. I am whole. And I am free.
Life Conversations, committed to assisting you move from where you are to where you want to be. Have courage. Make that move.
Hi, I'm Mark Victor Hansen. I want you to be listening to Life Conversations. My friends are running it, and they do the best hosting in the planet. Enjoy this show.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.
Can we all get along? Can we just all get along and let's keep this show rolling? Thank you very much. Let's go. Let's have some fun.
The sound of children playing. Something about hearing children laughing and playing has a way of bringing us joy. When was the last time you played? No children, no work, just stopped and took the time to tap into your inner joy. You're never too old to play. Successful people value their playtime. That's why Divine Arts Productions presents PLAY, Purposefully Loving and Appreciating You, a weekend specially designed with you in mind to help tap into the big kid inside. There'll be dancing, music, video games, pool parties, fireworks, and so much more. To register, go to iwillplay.org. That's iwillplay.org. Give yourself the gift of having fun. I will play. And
snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many treats? Snickerdoodle shortbread, fudgy nut bars. How many treats in the cookie jar? One.
Dad, you're supposed to jump over the rope.
One more time.
The smallest moments can have the biggest impact on a child's life. Take time to be a dad today. Learn more at 1-877-4DAD-411 or visit fatherhood.gov.
Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Yes, indeed. Life Conversations Radio, where we're supporting you to be the change you want to see. The phone lines are lit up. Let's get to the phone lines and I'll share my image and we'll talk about, you know, just dance together. And we're going to do Celestial Moment a little bit, maybe around 1:10 or something like that, to give Celestial kind of get ourselves together. Let's see. To find out more about I Will Play, go to iwillplay.com for time and date and all of the information. iwillplay.org, that is, sorry. iwillplay.org. That's another way to heal your soul. When you play, you connect with the essence of who you are. Linda, let's take some calls before we start dancing more. Let's invite some more people to the dance floor. Melissa from Houston, how are you doing?
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Okay.
What's your question?
Hey! I have a question regarding my soul purpose. Like, what is my soul purpose for this lifetime?
Okay, I should have said this earlier. Linda's not doing readings, but she can talk to you and tell you about soul's purpose.
Okay, well then can you tell me how I could discover myself about my soul purpose?
Okay.
Of course. Of course. And you know what? This is a wonderful question because this is a question we all have, right?
Right. Right.
So there are a few things here. One of the things is, you know, at some level, there is a collective soul purpose. Okay, so the starting point is really to know that the purpose of the soul's journey through time is to come to love ourselves unconditionally, to love others unconditionally, and to really love life. So whatever the individual, whatever the details of your purpose are, it will always lead you back to the sense that that you love yourself, that you really enjoy yourself. One of the things that can be very helpful, there's a couple of things. One is, of course, I would say, you know, in my first book, which is How to Read the Akashic Records, you can learn how to open your own records, which will make it easier for you to be in direct communion, conscious communion with your own soul. That's one thing. That's a practice that can be very supportive. But I think what some of the other questions are things like, in the course of the day, what activities make me feel like myself? You know, there are some things we do in life. We think, oh, my God, I feel like I'm somebody else, or this doesn't seem right to me. We want to look for the clues. There's some things that we do, whether it's doing accounting. I mean, every activity on the planet is a worthy activity. Do you know, we need to, there's so many tasks that need to be accomplished. And every, you know, everything that we do, every endeavor is a ministry of sorts, really. But the question is, you know, what makes me happy to be me, right? That's really, and those are the questions we want to be asking on a daily basis. Because the purpose, you know, our individual purposes are revealed through the details of our lives. They really are. I mean, there are grand visions, and that's all fine and good. But the real challenge is, in the course of my everyday life, you know, being on purpose, you know, what am I really here to do? What makes me feel glad to be myself? Because it is no accident that you are you. And so we want to begin to piece together and to track. I mean, I actually like to journal, right? To look and see, you know, in the course of the day, you know, when I was doing, you know, what really made me happy to be myself? There are other things when I'm doing them, I'm like, oh, my God, I would rather be anywhere than here now. You know? I mean, and I know we all have those things, but I think it's important to allow yourself a discovery process. You know, I think that the age of really growing into an awareness of who we are, that age is upon us. It used to be that someone else would tell us who we are and what we are here to do and what we're supposed to do. This is the first lifetime for many of us in which we have any say, any choice, any authority about our self-expression. This is radical. You know, we have centuries of, I want to say, being under the thumb of somebody or something, you know, whether it's individuals or governments, right? This is a very new thing, and there's an awkwardness. We're not used to it. You know, I know in my own life, it wasn't until I really got older that I started to think about, well, what do I really want to do, as opposed to what am I supposed to do? What am I supposed to do? What should I do? Those are archaic questions. It's the question today is, you know, what makes me happy to be me? And I'll tell you something. Cooking for my family thrills me. I happen to like that. You know, there are a lot of things. And it's a funny thing. It's not just about taking exotic vacations, which, believe me, I love an exotic vacation. But the fact is that our everyday lives are imbued with opportunity to discover who we are and our connection and our purposes. But it must be in line with, I mean, if it starts to fall in the under the heading of suffering, you know, then we know we're off track. But it's like, wow, these activities, these responsibilities, you know, our soul's purposes, we do have responsibilities to ourselves, to other people. Responsibility is the crucible through which our personalities are transformed so we can radiate more light. So we don't want to shy away from responsibilities. We want to step into those and see, you know, sometimes responsibilities, when they are true, they're invigorating, they're empowering, and there's always a grace to meet them. And if responsibilities aren't ours, you know, we end up resentful and bitter. So I just think the exploration, exploring what makes me feel authentic and real and genuine, those are the clues. And to be willing to begin to carve out our own understanding of our purpose as opposed to, you know, waiting for someone else to tell us what to do. This is, remember, and that's hard for us because it's the first time in history where we have the consciousness to step into this on our own, because we are moving, remember, from being spiritual children into spiritual maturity. Very, very exciting time. So I hope that's helpful.
Yes. Yes.
Very helpful. Thank you.
Good.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Melissa. Thank you for calling in.
Thanks, Melissa.
Paula. And, you know, just real quick, that whole thing about the soul, that maturity is, it's like, it's funny as I'm talking now. Children get excited about any and everything. But then you can look at a grandfather, a grandmother, a matured adult, how they deal with things. It's a sort of calm. It doesn't mean they're not excited. So this sole purpose for me, as I say, this whole thing that we got to, it's real simple. It's, our sole purpose is real simple. But we've been told it's going to be grand. And what you said is really about recognizing ourselves as love, expressing the love, being the love. But there are channels through which that's something that we get lost in. You talked about cooking. That's for you. I mean, for me, it's inspiring thoughts and having conversation. It lights me up no matter what. I get excited. Learning the information just lights me up. And I think really, you know, if we start remembering that it's so simple, we're here to be loved. And not just to kind of like be loving in life. No, it's deeper than that. Become the place where love gets to express itself in a whole different way. Let's go to Anne. Anne from Massachusetts. Hey, Anne, how are you doing?
Hi, good, thanks, good. I just have a question. Like, I get it, like, not sleepwalking through life and, like, knowing who you are. And, like, I realize, you know, I know that whole process thing to healing yourself and all. But, like, how does somebody like you, and I'm not asking you to do it, I'm just asking the question, like, what do you do to is it like an energy reading if you were to do a reading, like a record reading on someone? Or how do you get your information about the other person?
Well, I'll tell you what. It's a great question, Anne. So I work with a sacred prayer. It's called the Pathway Prayer Process that was revealed to me. And it is a prayer through which, when I say the prayer, or anyone else, because my book, How to Read the Akashic Records, talks about how to do this, right? It's got all the information. You can learn how to do this, right? In the saying of the prayer, two things happen. It moves me into a very receptive frame of mind, and it brings forward a set of records, right? I call for one set of records. And what happens, It's really wonderful. There's something known as the Akashic Atmosphere. The records are governed by three absolutes, which are fear not, judge not, and resist not. And those three together really establish a very protected, like a spiritual sanctuary, right? So it's an interesting thing. It's not like the records do a healing on me or the records do anything to me. What it is, it's an environment. It's an energetic environment within which it's so safe and sacred and reverent and compassionate, right? That I can really take a look at who am I today? What are my dilemmas as a human being? What, you know, because I really want to know, how can I see this from a higher perspective? How can I understand what's happening through me, for me, to me, in my life? How can I understand my reactions, my responses, right? My connections with other people, patterns that keep repeating. Like, why do I keep getting into the same mess, right, with, you know, different jobs, different whatever it is? You know, we say, oh, my God, I feel like I've done this a million times, right? And to really begin to look at life within this very safe and supportive environment, okay? And so in saying the prayer, there's an opening and a closing, right? So that I have a dedicated time and place where I can take a look, right? I can bring my questions about my life, myself, other people, whatever, and really open up to answers that are helpful to me. And it's not, you know, it's not like, what can I say? It's the answers come through us as us, right? The answers are, we all know, you know, the answers are within. The question is, how do I get to a deep enough place where I can really register, whether it's hearing or having a sense of it, how do I get there, right? We all know we've had these moments, right, where we've collided, we've encountered our own deeper selves. We've all had it, every one of us. The question is, how do I get there of my own volition? How do I get there at will, as opposed to kind of like hoping I get there? And that's where my work comes in. It's like, oh, wait, here's a way. You can get there when you need to. And having a practice over time really cultivates this awareness. Right, and so I don't know. Does this help, Anne?
Yeah, it does. It's like you through your own practice, it allows you to open up some kind of portal to another dimension. Probably it's not third dimensional; it's a higher level.
No, and, it's the soul. It's a soul level dimension.
Yeah, and it opens up, and then it just flows naturally for yourself or whoever you're trying to guide.
Absolutely. So okay. If I'm working my own records, of course I open my own records. If I'm working with you, I would say, Anne, listen, write down all your questions, because we're going to look at who you are from the perspective of your soul. It's almost like we're looking through this lens that's your soul to see who you are and what are the problems and what are some of those unbudgeable issues. I know when I'm working with other people, I love unbudgeable issues because I need to see. Do you know what I'm saying? It's like, come on, let's go for broke, right? Let's really take a look. So that's what we do, and we cover a lot of ground, right? And I work with people all the time. I love it. It's really the foundation of my life because we talk about soul's purpose and life purpose and all these. The greatest thrill, actually, in my life is to be with another person in that moment, seeing the truth about who they are, seeing their life from the altitude of the Akasha, right, from that higher perspective, really seeing the radiance, the goodness, the humanity of an individual, no matter what their challenges. To me, that thrills me. Do you know? And so that's what I do. I mean, I work with people individually all the time. I teach people, you know, I teach people in person. I teach people online. This is really because in this time, it's about one soul connecting with another. See, there is no such thing as the group, right? The group is a collective of individual points of light, and we are called to be points of light within a greater light. Because the truth is, I know you don't want my light, Anne. You want your own light.
Oh, yeah.
And right? And you don't want anybody else's. Right? You don't want anybody else's. You want your own, and I want my own. Because we know somewhere deep inside, there's an awareness that we have. It's within us that there is a presence. There is something within us that is greater. Right? And we all know that. I don't care. It can get buried. We know that, right? We can forget. We can have but we all know it's in there. And really, our destiny is to connect with that and to lead consciously soul-led lives. Consciously soul-led lives. Where we lead, we go, it's not even heart first. It used to be, we thought, oh, God, if we could get the heart activated, that'd be wonderful. And it is wonderful. I mean, it's, my goodness, I mean, the difference between now and 50 years ago is really astonishing. But see, the call of 2012 is that we lead soul-led lives, where the soul takes the lead, and the heart, the mind, and the will are in the service of the soul. And this is the new age.
Yes.
Wow. Pretty powerful.
Indeed.
Thank you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anne, for
much.
The question.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Good question, Anne. Yeah.
Yes, indeed.
I'm
we're going to just rest for a moment and come back to Linda. And I want to talk about this, that soul-led life, which kind of ties into the ancestral image that I was going to share earlier. And for listeners, if you want to learn to read the Akashic Records, you don't have to go and be in a mountain for the next 10,000 years. You can just simply go online. So go to a bookstore. How to Read the Akashic Records by Linda Howe, accessing the archives of the soul and its journey. And we also invite you, for those of you who are listening online, press one on your keypad if you have any questions. Press it now because we're almost done with Linda. And then, what's the other thing? Yeah, we ask that you share the show with your friends, your coworkers, your family members, people you're struggling with, people that you love, people you can't stand, people you just wish disappear from the face of the planet. Tell them, listen, why would you want to do that? If you share the show with them, they catch a new reality, a new insight, and then they can be your friend. They can be someone, you know, they might just move out your life. It's time for Ancestral Blueprints, and we'll come back with Linda T. Just do a final conversation, final touches, and so we can all live a soul-led life. Celeste, you're a moment with Celeste Morgan. Hello, Celeste. Good afternoon. How are you doing?
I'm fine, and I really think you are having visitors from our ancestors visiting. I really do.
Say that again, sorry. Say that again.
I said I am great, and I really do believe you're having ancestral visitations.
There's kind of technical stuff they said is into people can't hear, staticky, people can't get in the chat room. But, you know, Linda has folks working with her. They're around, and I'm sure I got people around me, too. So they're all here trying to
talk
at once.
That's right.
But we
got to
slow it down so people can hear.
Yes, indeed. And I want to say hello to beautiful Linda, who always brings it. And please, please come back again real soon. We need you. Your message and how you break it down. I needed every word, and I felt like I was dancing with you. So, on that note, I'm gonna say hello to the family. It's my pleasure, Linda. It's my pleasure to say your name. Okay, stop now. That's my mommy's name, Linda. So I'm already talking on you before I heard your great voice. Second time around. You're amazing. Mm-hmm. Okay. So, good afternoon, family. I am Celeste Morgan, and it is my pleasure to bring you Celestial Moment. Numbers give us information to help us navigate and embrace all that's showing up in our life right now. I come bearing a number gift. It's Tuesday, May 15th, 2012, the first day of the Venus retrograde, and one of my favorite astrologers says that the beauty industry is going to make big bucks reaping the benefit off of folks feeling ugly. Oh, horror. As if we don't have enough to deal with. Now Venus wants to offer us another opportunity to remember the truth. We are divine, beautiful children of the Most High. We know who we are. Venus may be retrograding today, but let's see what else is running. Add the date. We get 2032. Add 2032, and the energy of the day equals 7. The 7th letter of the alphabet is G, and words like guardian, goddess, and guidance connect us to the magical power of seven. Seven is all about inner processes and inner work. Our seventh chakra is our crown chakra. This chakra represents liberation, bringing great knowledge, deep understanding, inner wisdom, and a connection to the highest state of enlightenment and spiritual growth. It represents union with the higher self, the cosmos, and the divine. Today, we're going to put the spotlight on the Chariot and Tarot from the perspective of Mother Peace. The Chariot is all about victory, and in my card, it features a spiritual Amazon holding an apple as a reward for work well done. She's not even holding the reins. She's trusting the universe to drive. Over her head, the night sky is the body of the goddess Nut, who is the loving mother, watching over her daughter, who is on a mission. A crab sits in the middle, connecting us astrologically to Cancer. The crab is known for being emotional and loving, intuitive and imaginative, shrewd and cautious, protective and sympathetic. With this type of covering, we wisely use our personal power and power of choice to do our good work in the world. And I would add, no matter what. So let's pull out an underused tool on our walk today. It's the tool of gratitude. Set yourself free by surrendering to the ride of the Chariot on your hero's journey. All is well. And that's the story of seven, told through our friend the Chariot of Mother Peace Tarot. I'll see you on Wednesday around 1 for another celestial moment. Thank you.
Yes, indeed. Thank you. Thank you, Celeste. Thank you for the gratitude reminder. And for those of you who need to step into gratitude and grace and generosity, pick up one of Linda's book and you'll find out more about the sacred word, gratitude, grace, and generosity. And you can remind yourself that it's, you know, you can just walk this planet. Fear not. Fear not. Judge not, resist not. Just let that be your daily mantra. Just let that be the way you move through life. You will tap into the world of inspiration. My guest is Linda Howe. Our website address is akashicstudies.com. Akashicstudies.com. You can find out more about her and all the other things that she does. But before we release Linda, this is something that's been coming to me that I've just been meditating on and really being with. It's this whole thing about that we're a soul and a body, that we're so much more than what we see. And this thing that we call the one life. And how he shows up to me is, if this is for listeners, I want you to get kind of visual, use your visualization power here, your imagination. Think of yourself standing, and then behind you is your mother and your father. Behind your mother is her mother and her father. Behind your father is his mother and his father. And it goes on and on. You just start stacking those people behind each other. And you think about it. You, as this one person, have all those people behind you. And it's endless. So if you think about it, your parents have their own parents. Their grandparents have their own parents. Their great-grandparents have their own parents. And it goes on and on. And that life that moves through your great, 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 you just keep going till you can't count no more. That same life, that soul energy is moving through you. So for me, when you talk about, Linda, when you talk about living a soul-led life, that aligns me with that statement, to realize that the life, the soul energy that is moving through me goes way back. And it's so deep, so rooted, so strong, that when I feel like I can't handle it, I can just pull up the strength of my ancestors, the roots of this thing called the tree of life. Because one day I will be one of those ancestors, and the experience that I'm having right now, how I'm dancing with my soul, will be the source of inspiration for my descendants. And you know that image for me is helping me feel more grounded when I feel like I'm a leaf in the wind and realize, no, I'm attached to a branch that's attached to a trunk, and then the trunk is attached to these roots that go deep, deep down. What are your thoughts about, you know, ancestors and just the link to a life that goes beyond the definition of what life is?
You know, this is really, it's a wonderful image that you present. It's really beautiful. And what I have come to come into awareness about is that who I am, Linda, that I stand here as a direct expression of all those who've preceded me, whether they're my biological ancestors or my ancestors in consciousness, that I am the zone where the past and the future meet, and that I really am a very deliberate point of consciousness between those who've gone before and those who will follow. And when I recognize that I am a point in space and time, a dedicated zone of consciousness between what we understand as the past and the present and the future, right? I am the present in the whole continuum. This, to me, is very nurturing. It's very nurturing. It's very sustaining. And I do love it. And that where I stand when we talk about holy ground, I do stand on the earth. And that all of the resources that I need to demonstrate my soul's purposes in this particular incarnation are embedded within the planet itself. That the earth itself, the physicality of the earth, holds within it all of the physical resources I need, all of the emotional resources, right, the comfort, the encouragement, all of that held within the earth, all of the good ideas that I might ever need to really realize and express the very truth of who I am in this lifetime in real terms, right, real space and time. It's all held within the earth. And at the same time, where I stand right now, all of the light that has been with me since the inception of my soul, light from places I know, light from familiar dimensions and angles, and light from realms I have yet to encounter, seeks me out and finds me here in this moment. And this is true for me, and it is true for all of us. And it is just, it is a wonderful thing, too.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. One last thing I'd just really love for you to speak on as it relates to Akashic Records and just recognizing who we are and tying it all together, because that's what I'm feeling right now. If you can just speak to gratitude when it comes to healing our sacred wounds and the Akashic Records, gratitude, can you just speak on that?
Gratitude gives us momentum, okay? It enables us. Gratitude gathers. It's collective, right? It's cumulative. So being grateful, and I don't mean like Pollyanna nonsense, but to be really grateful for whatever, you know what I mean? I mean, who needs that? That's bull. But to really, I'm really grateful for a good cup of tea today.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really grateful. It's really sunny and beautiful here in Chicago. I'm grateful for that. Whatever I'm grateful for actually gives me the wheels. It moves me forward, enabling me to break out of my current zone of consciousness into my next realm of possibility. And that is the power of gratitude. And for all of us who are involved in this ascending consciousness, the ascension matrix is composed of gratitude, grace, and generosity. So being grateful for what I have, giving what I can give in the moment, not just thinking about giving. I know for me that's a tricky one. To actually give what I can, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And to allow, open myself to the presence, the reality of infinite grace in this very moment will enable me to rise above the difficulty of life and to live, really, to live the life that is possible. So.
Yes.
So it is.
And so.
So thank you. Thank you so much for allowing me to be with you today. It has been my pleasure, of course, and it's always great to be with you.
Yeah, the feeling is mutual. And before you go, anything else you want to share with the listeners, maybe courses you're doing, or anything that you want them to know about that we haven't talked about, or even if we've talked about it, it's your time.
Well, do you know what? Here's the thing. You know, on my website, which is akashicstudies.com, do you know, I think a great place to start, I believe anybody who wants to do this kind of work can. I believe that where there is the desire, there is the ability. My two books, Healing Through the Akashic Records, is just, you know, it is my heart, Healing Through the Akashic Records, and my other book, How to Read the Akashic Records. But, you know, I have a wonderful online class coming up, which is Manifesting Your Soul's Purposes. So I have that coming up. I have in-person classes. And, of course, I'm always available for individual consultations. I am always open to discovering ways in which I can serve people. And so I just, you know, I really welcome working with others. I love it, and I have done my very best to provide a variety of ways to meet your needs. So so take a look, and don't hesitate to reach out. And I look forward to really to meeting you in person someday. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for showing up. Thank you for saying yes to life. And thank you for being the light and shining the light through it all. Thank you. Thank you so much, Linda. Life is good. It's getting better. I am grateful. I am so grateful. I thank you all for tuning in. We're going to take a quick break, well, a musical break, just to kind of let it settle in. And then I'll come back and wrap it all up and release it and just let it go forth and multiply the consciousness of truth. Wow, so much in there. I'm just making notes and just some different things that Linda was sharing with us. It's life is good. Life is good, even through the challenges. So when I say life is good, it's not denying the pain and the emotional pain, the physical pain. But our spiritual practice is really about recognizing that at the end of it all, when you just go, like, when you break it down, when you go down to the smallest of atoms, life is good. When you just take the stuff away and keep going down and looking at it with a microscope, the microscopic eye, your inner eye, and really look at what life is truly, you connect with and knowing that life is truly good. And in that place, you get to the microscope, you get to the atoms of your life, and you see just like a light shining back at you. And then you can say, I'm standing in the light. Cynthia James, we'll be right back.
Shadows must give way to the light. When your mind is full of unnecessary thoughts and the world is pulling you down, lift your head up high, get your chin up off the ground. Remember, you're standing in the light. When your heart is full with the clutter of your life and the rain is falling all around, hold your head up high, pick your feet up off the ground. Remember, you're standing in the remember you're standing in the light. When your heart is full with the clutter of your life and the rain is falling all around, hold your head up high, put your feet up off the ground. Remember you're standing in the light. When your mind is full of unnecessary thoughts and the world is pulling you down, lift your head up high, get your chin up off the ground. Remember you're standing. When your heart is full with the clutter of your life and the rain is falling all around, hold your head up high, put your feet up off the ground. Remember you're standing in the light. When your heart is full with the clutter of your life and the rain is falling, hold your head up high, put your feet up off the ground. Remember you're standing in the light. Hold your head up high, put your feet up off the ground. Remember you're standing in the
Yes, we are. Even if everywhere around you looks dark, we are standing in the light. And if it looks dark, it's just an illusion. There is a veil. There's something telling you that's not the light. You know, it's like when you lose your keys and you say, oh, I'm on my way to an appointment. I'm almost late. I had that key on me. I just had to go get my phone. I forgot my purse. I forgot my whatever. And now I don't know where it is. Where is this key? You didn't lose it. It's in the house. You know it is because you had it a few minutes ago. And then suddenly, if you could bring yourself to that place where you just say, okay, maybe God is trying to tell me something. Maybe the angels. I don't know. Okay, let me just be still. I guess the universe is reminding me to just stop. And in that moment, something will happen. You will have a different thought. Or you sit down, or you might want to call and tell people you're going to be late, and right there. It's like, oh my God, I look here already. I look here already. That's life. So when we're seeking healing, when we're seeking to express ourselves, and we've been looking and struggling and doing this and doing that, if we can just get still, we'll realize the healing we're looking for is right here already. It's a shift in perception, a shift in how we see our world. That's a miracle. Shift how you perceive your world, shift how you see yourself, shift how you recognize your connection with all things. You are never, ever alone, and the importance of having community. That you're on this planet right now to do amazing things. The vibration is fast. So much is happening. There's an eclipse. There's Venus retrograding. Even if you're not into astrology, even if you're much more, you're into something that's so much more than astrology, we are feeling the shift and change in so many levels. We trip about same-sex relationships. We trip about something that never used to bother us. We're tripping about so much more. Now is the time. Now is the time to find something to go deep and be grateful for the life that is moving through and as you. And Life Conversations Radio here, we're dedicated and committed to bringing people to support you on your spiritual growth, on your soul's journey. And I'm actually thinking maybe we'll bring Mark Husson to have a short, quick conversation in one of the shows when I'm going solo towards the end of the month to talk about what Venus retrograde means and what we can do to support the blessings that the planets are bestowing on us. Yeah, I think that's a great idea. That's a great idea. We'll bring Mark Husson back. You know, maybe just have a short, I don't know. That's something came to me this morning. I don't know if we're not going to do readings. I don't know, but I don't think so. But just bring him back to talk about it. And so if you have questions around that, just check out, around that, listen to the show. But check out lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. We'll have the update for you. And on Facebook, you know, I'm always posting. Casper's always posted, and so you can find me on their lifeconversationsradio.com. There's Ask Life Coach at a fan page. There's my personal page. There's a fan page for Life Conversations Radio. So just type in Life Conversations Radio. You see everything. You see some guy, what are you talking about? You see this handsome-looking guy with an orange shirt just beaming. That's what I heard. Okay, stop it. Stop it. Anyway, what am I trying to say? There you go. So you're doing too much. Yes. Tomorrow we have Colette Baron Reed, internationally renowned intuitive counselor, author of The Map, Finding the Magic and Meaning in the Story of Your Life. Finding the magic and meaning in the story of your life. We're guiding you and reminding you that you're standing in the light. Oh, yeah, Cynthia James. Her website address is cynthiajames.net to find to get a reminder of standing in the light. Go to cynthiajames.net and you can see what she's doing, her music and everything. And tomorrow at 12, well, so 12, tomorrow at 12, we have Colette Baron-Reed talking about, you know, the meaning of your life. Tomorrow at 2 p.m. Eastern, we have Here to Inspire with Aisha. Tomorrow she's talking about relationships. You know, that's what life is about. It just comes in many forms. And tomorrow's topic is friends with benefits. Do you have one of those? I may add my two cents because I'm the expert. Oh, that don't sound right. Don't finish that statement. Well, yes, I'm the expert on friends with benefits. It just depends on what benefit you're talking about. See, I have friends who really, having them in my life is a blessing. They support me on my spiritual growth. That's the kind of blessings I'm talking about. But you limit your benefit just to a sexual relationship, be it. But there's so much more to life. Anyway, let me get out of Aisha's show. Let her do her thing. That's tomorrow, 2 p.m. And then on Thursday, we have Jack Armstrong. He's going to share with us what he's been downloading for what God has to say. He's the author of Lessons from the Infinite. No, it's not. Lessons from Source. And maybe he'll play a little something from Jack. And then what time is it? Yeah, play something from Jack. And then, yeah, let me do that. And then I'll do Abraham on gratitude, appreciation, just to hear a little bit about being in the flow of life. It's a nice way to raise the show. Divine order? Flow? Which one is it? Let's do divine order. Oh, I was going to say something else. Okay, let's do divine order. Okay, that's what we're going to do.
You are in divine order. Always remember this and understand all that it implies. Just as the sun rises each morning and your bodily systems function without conscious effort and leaves appear from nowhere in the spring, you are carrying out the divine plan for your life, and your good will unfold for you as it should at the appropriate moment. Relax in your knowledge of this certainty.
Really that simple. You are.
Reject the influence of any negative emotion that arises in your conscious mind. If you believe that your good is certain and that there is a blessing in every situation, which admittedly is still difficult for you to internalize, then none of these emotions can have any power over you whatsoever. Once you have given a negative thought or condition even the slightest bit of power or credibility, it will attempt to latch onto you with full determination, and it will take an even greater amount of determination on your part to rid yourself of it. Approach this task as if it were a life or death matter, for it is in a spiritual sense.
Mm-hmm. And that's why I'm not going to have a negative thought about interrupting Jack talking about divine order and negative thoughts. I'm just going to say, oh, wow, I'm always in divine order, always in divine order. Yes, Jack Armstrong, he'll be joining us on Thursday, 12 p.m. Eastern. All shows are archived, can be downloaded. You can go to iTunes to download it there, subscribe so you can have it downloaded on your iPod, iPad, whatever. Who cares? I am. What else do I need to tell you? Something I was going to tell you. Oh, yeah. We're taking your questions. Even if you, maybe if you have a suggestion for a show, post it on the Ask Life Coach at A fan page. Ask Life Coach at A fan page. Post it on there, and then we'll get to it. Maybe it's something you're dealing with. Maybe a show that you want us to do. Maybe you're a guest. If you're a guest, now you want to be a show, go to lifeconversationsmedia.com, lifeconversationsmedia.com. And there is a tab that says, what does it say? It says, oh, more. When you click more, more, say, be our guest. And you could be our guest, put in your information, and we'll get back to you so we can do the dance, we can do the do together, so we can all connect with the truth of who we truly are. This is Abraham. I'm going to play a song after that, but this is Abraham Hicks talking about, well, yeah, Abraham. They're talking about appreciation. Ah, I love you, I bless you, I appreciate you, and I thank God for you. Love yourself, meaning be love, because that's who you are. Be true to yourself. Your life depends on it. And allow the love to come back to you. Be loved. Don't push it away. Don't get too strong for love. Love wants to love you. And then when you're in that space, you can go on a rampage of appreciation with Abraham. To find out more about Abraham Hicks, Esther and Jerry's work, go to abrahamhicks.com, abraham-hicks.com, abraham-hicks.com. This rampage of appreciation. I'm out of here. Peace and blessings. Be well. And see you tomorrow, 12 p.m. Eastern.
Often people will say, well, Abraham, why are we set up this way? In other words, why does it have to be hard? If we are pure positive energy and then we are born into these bodies, why are we so assured that there will be resistance surrounding us? Why does there have to be so much that we worry about that gets our attention and that sets up resistance within us and keeps us from being in the place of allowing that we so much want? And we say, it is because the benefit of the contrasting environment is millions of times more valuable than the negative is detrimental. In other words, if you did not have the ability to discern difference, you could not prefer. And if you could not prefer, you could not vibrationally summon source. And if you could not vibrationally summon source, then we would all cease to be. And so the entire universe is based upon our ability to conclude the new idea, which is the summoning forth of the new life into the new space. And then you say, but wouldn't it have been better if we could have had an environment where it was easier to stay connected? And we say, there is no environment that is easier to be connected than an environment in which you are free to choose thought. And you say, but it's hard to choose a thought that feels good when there's so much around me that feels bad. And we say, only because you haven't practiced it that way. Only because you've been convinced that you've got to clamor around the problem in order to find the solution. And there is truth in some of that. The clamoring around the problem is what is giving birth to the desire, you see. And so it's all an integral part of all of this. There are some who say that we should not encourage you to have desire. And yet, we cannot stop you from having desire. The universe is established to produce desire. There are some who say it is inappropriate to have desire. And we say those are only those who have not figured out how to find vibrational alignment with the desire. So the desire is always painful. We understand why you would not want to have a desire that is painful. But the only reason it is painful is because you have not yet learned how to allow. So then you say, well, how do we allow? And we say, you find a thought that feels good and practice it until it becomes your proclivity. And you say, oh, that's far too simple. There's got to be something bigger than that. There's got to be something a lot more than just feeling good. And we say, there is nothing more important than that you feel good. Because when you feel good, you've got control of your vibration. And when you've got control of your vibration, you are the deliberate creator of your experience. So when you say, why do we have to allow? We say it is because you were born into an environment where there are choices. You were born into an environment where there is variety. In other words, if you lived in a household where everybody thought exactly the same way and nobody had any contention about anything, everybody wanted everything exactly the same, you were all born to love pizza and you were all born to love milk and you were all born to love the color yellow and you were all born to love hardwood floors instead of carpeted floors, and you were, in other words, if you were all born with these samenesses, you say, oh, we would get along so famously. We all sing the same songs and we do the same things, and we say you would not be stimulated to a new idea, and a continuing life force could not continue to be drawn within you, because you need, we all need, an active calling. That's big. We all need an active calling. There has to be an activation of that summoning of energy. And as long as there is an activation of that summoning of energy, then life continues. And it is our promise to you that life will always continue. And so you say, well, this activation of this energy is a good thing, but my resistance to it is not a good thing. Why do I have to learn allowing? And we say, you would not have to learn allowing if you had not learned disallowing. And you say, that's my point exactly. Why was I born into an environment where I learned disallowing? Why do I have to go back now and learn how to allow? Shouldn't I just naturally allow? And we say, because you wanted the environment of difference, and you needed to find your bearing, and you needed to find your place, and you needed to decide what you want. In other words, we promise you, you did not want to come into an environment where you just said yes, 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 yes to all of it. You wanted to say yes, no, well, maybe. Well, what do I think? What do I conclude? What is my preference? Otherwise, your perspective has no value if you are not here to decide, to discern, to prefer something new, you see. So then you say, but I thought we are all one. And we say, we are all one, playing off one another for the purpose of coming up with a new idea. And you say, well, it's painful because now I have to learn how to allow all over again. And we say, you'll be all right. You can use your guidance system to know. If you don't get too far from where you are, it's always easy to bring yourself back to center. And even if you do get far from where you are, it's still easy to bring yourself back to center. It just takes deciding that feeling good is worth something. And practicing with real determination to feel good for no other reason than to feel good. And in time, you show yourself that allowing is not a big issue. It's easy to allow. In fact, it is your dominant proclivity. You would much rather love than not love. You know how we know that? When you don't love, you feel miserable. You would much rather praise than criticize. You know how we know that? Because when you criticize, you feel awful. And when you praise, you feel wonderful. You would much rather know your success and know your value than to feel that you do not have value. You know how we know? Because we feel your pain when you choose the other. In other words, we think that it must be so easy to know the stove is hot. In other words, that does not feel good. It does not feel good to put your hand on a hot stove. And we do not understand sometimes why it is so hard to take your hand off the stove. And you say, my mother had her hand on the stove. Her mother had her hand on the stove. Our family puts its hand on the stove. It's just what we all do. The day I was born, they put my hand on the stove. And we say, but now you get to decide how you like it. And you say, but it's hard. Do I dare take my hand from the stove? And we say, risk it and try it. And you say, ah, it is sweet relief when I take my hand from the stove. But look, my mother still has her hand on the stove, and my government still has its hand on the stove. They've all got their hand on the stove. Who am I to find the relief of not putting my hand on the stove? And we say, all right, put your hand back on the stove if you want to. But understand that you get to allow or not allow. These are your choices. We're wanting you to understand that it's not hard to allow. In fact, the hardest thing of all is to learn patterns of not allowing who you are. It's a lot harder to be confused than to be clear-minded. It's a lot harder to be sick than it is well. It's a lot harder to not have enough money than to have enough money. It's a lot harder to be negative than to be positive. It's a lot harder to be pessimistic than to be optimistic. The hard, 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 hard thing is not allowing. It's easy to allow. You just have to give yourself permission to do it and practice it a little bit. You are on your own in this, and you like it that way. You came into this environment knowing that you would be an individual consciousness that would have your individual preferences, and that anything that you in your powerful individualness identify as your desire source energy will answer. It is our expectation that you will prove to yourself that you have the ability to let it in. It is so much easier than you think. There's just one thing that you have to remember. It is good to feel good. It is good to feel good. Clarity is your natural state of being. Healthy is your natural state of being. Eager is your natural state of being. Loving is your natural state of being. It is natural for you to have desire, and it is natural for you to anticipate happy outcomes. And it is natural for you to love, and it is natural for you to sing, and it is natural for you to play. It is natural for you to skip. It is natural for you to be joyful. It is natural for you to know well-being. It is natural for you to expand. It is natural for you to question. It is natural for you to find interest. It is natural for you to want more. And it is natural for you to feel good. And anything else is resisting the natural state of who you are. There is great love here for you. We are complete.
Life Conversations Radio. Be the change you want to see.